I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to fall in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent.
Greetings to all my Israelite kinsmen and kinswomen of the posterity of Abraham around the world. This is part two of Repent and Confess. This study is covering all the verses that show what repentance and confessing really is. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com or www.ageoflaodicea.com. That's spelled AGEOFLAODICEA. Repent and confess is found in the Word Studies menu. It's not about being sorry and then going right back to living as you were. It calls for a change of mind, a return to a righteous Christian lifestyle. It takes knowledge and understanding of what these things mean in order to make a return to Yahweh and His ways. We covered the Old Testament in part one, and we now continue in the New Testament, which is actually all one covenant and with the same peoples. The children of Jacob Israel, who are the Caucasian peoples of the world. The only difference in the new or better covenant is that the Levitical priesthood, its rituals and oblations have expired. This is because when Christ died, he became our high priest and mediator. There is no longer any use for a priesthood or blood rituals or sacrifice. We must make our own sacrifices now, which is done by obedience and allegiance to Father Yahweh. We must repent and confess in sincerity and truth, and not just once. Future sin is not covered by past righteousness. We begin in the New Testament, Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, proclaiming in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Metanoeho, or repent. That means think different, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was telling the Israelites in Judea to think differently. They were indoctrinated with the traditions of men which the Pharisees taught the people. This is the doctrine of Judaism, which is not Christian. The Jews are not Israel. They are descendants of Cain and of Esau, and they took the laws of Moses and twisted them into their own doctrine. This is why Christ scolded them. This same false doctrine is taught in our churches today. Think differently. Reconsider what you believe. Repent. When we follow false doctrine, we are sinning, even if we follow false doctrine in ignorance. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O race of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John was identifying the children of Cain and Esau, the race of vipers, Jews. Verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, or a change of mind. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Abraham is their father through Esau. Esau was a Hebrew, but since he took Canaanite wives, his descendants are of mixed blood and are known as Edomites, vessels of destruction. So they are really not a legitimate seed of Abraham because they are mixed. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The Edomite tree is evil. An evil tree cannot produce good fruit. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or a change of mind. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John was cleansing the Levitical priesthood with water baptism, preparing the way. He performed the last cleansing of the lamb. Water baptism was for the Levitical priesthood and for Christ, and by John. After Christ died, the priesthood expired, and no man nor water can do anything for you. Nothing comes between you and Christ. It's now up to ourselves to atone with spiritual sacrifice, repentance, confession, and conformity to his ways. Matthew 4:15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, not Gentiles. The prophecy concerning Galilee of the Gentiles actually refers to the region of the nations of the long dispersed Israelites, for they are the people sitting in darkness. Verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, Repent, meaning think differently, reconsider, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If the Jew Pharisees were teaching the scriptures, Christ would not have rebuked them. He came to teach the truth from the scripture and told the people to think differently, to repent for following the Jews' false doctrine. Matthew 9:10. And it came to pass, as Yeshua sat at meat in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisee Jews saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Yeshua heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, or sinners to a change of mind. Hosea 6:6 reads, For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. With true knowledge comes acknowledgement, then comes repentance and confession, and then comes a change in thinking and action of conformity. Matthew 11, verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a devil. The son of Adam came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. This saying demonstrates the general apathy of the people under any and all circumstances. And today we see that whether we pronounce the doom and gloom of inevitable judgment or a coming prosperity at the return of Christ, it does not matter. The people do not want to hear the truth. They prefer the world and the status quo. Verse 20. Then began he to rail at, or chide, the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. They did not change their minds. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented, or thought differently, long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Here it is evident that even the worst of the sinners of the ancient world shall not be punished as harshly as those who would reject Yeshua Christ, their Messiah. How many times will you be warned before you suffer the same fate as those cities which refuse the word? Church doctrine is evil. Christ is not a Jew. Jewish Jesus and false doctrine will not save you. It is time to think different. Change your mind. Reconsider what you think you know and what has been comfortable because it's all you know. Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous race seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Adam be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this race, and shall condemn it, because they repented, they thought differently, they changed their minds at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The men of Nineveh, who were Adamites, Assyrians from the sons of Asher, will condemn the race spoken of in verse 39, being the Edomite Pharisee Jews. Jonah 3:5. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim, and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. Matthew 21:28. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented, he regretted, he cared, and then went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Yeshua saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of Elohim before you. These Edomite Jew priests say, but they do not do. Verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and you, when you have seen it, repented not afterward. You did not regret or care afterward, that ye might believe him. The son in this parable had regret. He cared that he told his father no. The Jews have no regrets. Matthew 27:3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Judas was a Jew. He knew he was condemned either way because the scriptures teach that the Jews cannot enter the kingdom and that they will all be destroyed. Read the book of Obadiah. He knew Christ was innocent and still did his father's will, his father being Satan. Since Judas is already a devil by race, it was likely that the notion was put in his head by the Pharisees of betraying Christ. As the definition states, he cared afterward that the Pharisees used him. Mark 1:4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance, or compunction, a change of mind, for the remission of sins. John was a Levite. After his father Zacharias was slain by whom Christ called, "Serpents, ye race of vipers," John became the last high priest. The priest's job was to cleanse the priesthood and then the sacrifice. He was putting the priesthood in order by water baptism to make way for the final sacrificial cleansing, preparing Christ. Baptism means immersion, and not only in water. There is baptism by fire, death, knowledge and understanding, and the Holy Spirit. If you are not immersed in the knowledge and truth, then there can't be any repentance. Compunction is the pricking of the heart, grief or remorse from guilt, a regret of offending God, conviction of violation of duty. A change from sin requires compunction, a change of mind, thinking differently, and returning to the way, returning to Yahweh. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Yeshua came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Elohim, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the reign of Elohim is at hand. Repent, reconsider, think different, and believe the gospel." Mark 2:16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with the tax collectors and sinners?" And when Yeshua heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, to repentance," a change of mind. Calling sinners to reverse their thinking. To gain and understand true doctrine and repent. The religious leaders at the time of Christ were Edomite Pharisee Jews that created their own doctrines of men, using some of Moses' law. This is Judaism. It is not Christian doctrine. The churches teach the same perversion of Scripture and call themselves Judeo-Christian. This is an oxymoron, like saying you're a devil saint. Mark 6:12. And they, the 12, went out and preached that men should repent. They preached that men should think differently. The apostles went out to preach that the children of Israel should repent and change their ways and beliefs. Christ came to reteach and set the example for his people. He didn't come for the other races, churches, and peoples. He said, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Luke 1:16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn, or return, to Yahweh, their Elohim. And John shall go before Yeshua in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn, or to cause to return or bring back, the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh. The fathers, the children, the disobedient, all of these things can only refer to the children of ancient Israelites. And as we shall see several times in Luke, the gospel message can never be expanded to anyone outside of that context. Luke 3:3. And John came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, preaching the compunction, or a change of mind, for the remission of sins. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O race of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Pharisees did not come to John because they believed him. They really came in order to see what he was doing. John's having called certain of the Judeans a race of vipers by itself indicates that they are certainly not Levites. Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, a change of mind, compunction. And begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John knows that these people are evil, where he says, Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? He is challenging them to do good, as Yahweh challenged Cain to do good. Cain was told, If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And immediately he went out and killed his brother. Of course, Yahweh knew that Cain could not do well, just as he knew that Esau, the father of the Edomite Jew, would be a race traitor and sinner from the womb. Luke 5:32. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners, to compunction, to a change of mind. Luke 10:13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, or changed their minds, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Luke 11:32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this race, and shall condemn it, for they changed their minds at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Luke 13:1. There were present at that time some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, or think differently, you shall all likewise perish. Pilate mixed the blood of certain Galileans with their sacrifices, evidently having them slaughtered. And Christ asks if those men were sinners above all others of their nation. Then he warns those living that they must repent, lest the same thing would befall them. Verse 4. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you think differently, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 15:7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that thinks differently, or changes his mind, more than over 99 just persons which need no change of mind. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the messengers of Elohim over one sinner that changes his mind, that thinks differently, that reconsiders. This describes the test we face as mortals in this life, We all sin. We all must think differently and repent, because not everyone will make it into the kingdom. Only a remnant will follow his ways. Hence, each one that repents, confesses, and conforms to Yahweh will bring joy. Luke 16:30. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent, or consider. This parable is about the children of Jacob and the children of Esau, as both have Abraham for a father. Yahweh is the potter that made, or chose, Jacob as a vessel of mercy, and Esau a vessel fitted for destruction. Verse 19 describes the priesthood and or the rich at the time, the Edomite Jew. The gulf in verse 26 is the difference between where the children of light go and where the children of darkness go. The rich Jew of the parable wanted one of the dead to warn his brothers so that they might repent, and Christ said, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Jews had the laws of Moses, but chose to pervert it in their own doctrine. They were incapable of hearing the truth. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, or changes his mind, or amends, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I heartily amend, thou shalt forgive him. Christ teaches us to forgive our brethren. Rebuke them when they sin, but forgive them if they are sincere in their repentance. We sin every day, and if we ask for forgiveness, Yahweh will forgive us. If we want forgiveness, we must forgive. Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. What things we perceive in this life are within the providence of Elohim, and unless Elohim guides a man, the man will remain in blindness. We must consider these things when relating those things which we see as truth to our brethren who are blinded with the things of this world. Repentance and recognition of Elohim comes before a restoration of vision in every case where Christ healed the blind. Verse 46, And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, or a compunction, or change of mind, and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all Israelite nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In verse 47, Christ commanded his disciples to take the gospel to all of the nations, not to all nations, as the King James Version and others ignore the definite article when it is convenient for them to do so, pushing their false doctrine of universalism. The message is for the nations of Israel, the 12 tribes and their descendants, who are the Anglo-Saxon nations of the world today. Some churches teach that the law was done away with. Verse 47 teaches otherwise. We sin every day. We must constantly strive to imitate him and to ask for forgiveness. Christianity is a practice, a state of mind. It's our heritage and our history. It's the way. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Think differently, meaning change your way, and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua Christ for the remission of the penalty of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter taught them to change their thinking, to repent and be immersed in the knowledge and understanding of the truth of Scripture. Immersed in the name of Yeshua, which has meaning and obligation. Acts 3:19. Repent, or think differently, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Prince. Note that the apostles are still teaching that we must obey Yahweh's laws, even after Christ's death. So the law was not done away with, as the churches teach. Only the sacrificial rituals and ordinances were expired. Acts 5:31. Him that Elohim exalteth with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel, to give a change of mind to Israel, and forgiveness of the penalty of sins. Forgiveness to repentant Israel, specific. Only his people, a certain seed. Only Israel came from Isaac, who was dedicated on the altar to Yahweh. Only Israel was given the law. Only Israel disobeyed the law and was cast out into punishment and divorced by Yahweh. Only Israel was bought, and only Israel is redeemed. Only Israel is the bride, and it is only Israel that Christ came for. A certain man called Simon offered money to receive the power to give people the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way, and much like today's churches that teach false doctrine, such as just believe, personal salvation, the rapture, and that Jesus is a Jew, these are not what Scripture teaches, and therefore is not truth. It actually keeps the Holy Spirit from them. Acts 8:21. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of Elohim. Repent. Think differently, therefore, of your wickedness, and pray Elohim, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. If we don't know the truth, we are sinning, opposing ourselves, and thus require forgiveness. Acts 11:17. For as much then as Elohim gave them, the uncircumcised, the like gift as he did to us, the uncircumcised, who believed on the Prince Yeshua Christ, what was I that I could withstand Elohim? The Judeans were now starting to understand that both the houses of Judah and Israel were Israelites. Verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace, and glorified Elohim, saying, Then hath Elohim also to the dispersed Israel nations, the uncircumcised, granted repentance, a change of mind, a compunction unto life. Gentiles is a Latin word placed in the Bible to deceive. The original meaning is a nation or race of the same people. It does not mean the modern definition of non-Israelite or non-Jew. The word should be nations. Depending on the context, it could be any nation of people. In most places, it refers to the dispersed nations of Israel that did not return after captivity. They lost and forgot their heritage and needed to be reminded, hence lost sheep. They were of the house of Israel and were kinsmen to the house of Judah, which did return to Jerusalem after captivity and knew who they were. They both have the same shepherd, Yeshua. Acts 13:23. From this one's seed, according to the promise, Elohim raised up for Israel a Savior. After John, who had first preached before Christ's coming the baptism of a change of mind to all the people of Israel. This is the New Testament, and the message is still about, to and for, all the people of Israel. We Israelites must be immersed in knowledge and understanding of the truth. Then we can repent and conform. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. The churches teach that anyone can become God's offspring, even spiritually. The scriptures teach that offspring are literal descendants, literal seed, literally his family. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance Elohim winked or overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to think differently, because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all, in that he has raised him from the dead. Christ was raised from the dead because he had the allegiance, or faith, of his Father Yahweh. This is the example and the model for us to follow. We must repent, change our thinking, confess, and conform. Seek and strive for the same allegiance he demonstrated. Acts 19:2. He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Here is showing the difference between water baptism and baptism in the knowledge and understanding of the word. They did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of compunction, a change of mind, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Yeshua. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Prince Yeshua. So did they get dunked in water twice? Certainly not, but they were dunked in the Word, with knowledge and understanding. Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Judeans and also to the Greeks, repentance, a change of mind toward Elohim, and allegiance toward our Prince Yeshua Christ. The Judeans were of the house of Judah. They had knowledge of their heritage and the law. Many of the Greeks are of the house of Israel, and are some of the nations of the dispersed. They forgot their heritage because those in the outside areas of Jerusalem did not return after captivity. These two houses of Israel are the circumcision, Judah, and the uncircumcision, Israel. Paul recounts his conversion during his trial. Acts 26:18. Yeshua speaking, to open their eyes and to turn or return or bring back them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto Elohim, that they might receive forgiveness, the remission of the penalty of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith or allegiance that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the dispersed nations of Israel, that they should repent, that they should think differently, and turn, return, or bring back unto God, and do works meet for repentance, or a change of mind. The dispersed of Israel are those that did not return to Jerusalem after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities and went off and settled elsewhere. They lost and forgot their heritage, They were Israelites as well, and were also heirs of the promises and covenants that were made to all the children of Jacob. They had to be reminded of who they were and whose they were. The Israelites in Jerusalem did return after captivity and did not forget their heritage, but they did become corrupted by the Edomite Jew that infiltrated the priesthood while the children of Israel were in captivity. Romans 2:4. Or despiseth you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leadeth you to repentance, or a change of mind? But after your stubborn and unrepentant heart, do you store up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Elohim, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are intrigued by evil, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Judean first, and also of the dispersed nations of Israel. The Judeans first, because they had the law, and should have known better. And of the nations, meaning the dispersed 10 tribes of Israel, because they were children of the covenant as well. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of Elohim are without repentance. The word here is G278, ametimeletos, and it means regret. Yahweh does not repent. The favor and calling of his people that obey him are nothing that he is sorry about or regrets. 2 Corinthians 3:11. For if that which is done away was honorable, much more that which remaineth is honorable. The sacrificial rituals were done away with, not the laws of Moses or the food laws, as the churches teach. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great bluntness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the fulfillment of that which is abolished, meaning the rituals. This is an allegory. The Old Testament law left a magnificent reflection on Moses' face, yet the law of the Spirit is even more glorious. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. Christ was the fulfillment of the ritual laws. That is why they were done away with. To continue in these ordinances would be to deny what Christ did. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Keep the law by nature, not the letter. Nevertheless, when it shall return to the prince, the veil shall be taken away. 2 Corinthians 7:8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent or regret. Though I did repent or regret. For I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. His letter was blunt in calling them out on their sin. He did not regret his letter, though he did care afterwards that he made them sorry, but it was for a good cause. They repented. Verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. It caused a compunction or a change of mind. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh compunction, or a change of mind, to salvation, not to be regretted of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Paul chastened the Corinthians for their fornication and acceptance of it in 1 Corinthians. His sermon by that letter had a good effect. They repented. They changed their minds. After a chastising letter from Paul in 1 Corinthians regarding fornication and the acceptance of it, they sorrowed to repentance. They changed their thinking and behavior. Verse 11, "For beholding this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what reverence, yea, and vehement desire, and zeal, and what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter." As a cleansing process, the whole community was cleansed. "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of Elohim might appear unto you. If they did not take action, then God might not appear unto them. We have to be separate from ungodliness. The churches today teach tolerance, but the scriptures teach intolerance." 2 Corinthians 12:20. "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you as such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." There were some contentions among the assemblies. Some liked this apostle, some liked that apostle, just like people who preferred to hear from different personalities. They were having doubtful disputations over small stuff. Verse 21, "And lest, when I come again, my Elohim will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented, or considered, or heartily amended, or changed one's mind, of the uncleanliness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." The Greek is a little different. Verse 21 are questions. "Again, upon my having come, should my Elohim humble me before you? And should I mourn for those having failed before and not repenting after the uncleanness and fornication and licentiousness which they have practiced?" Allowing fornication is just as bad as committing fornication. 2 Timothy 2:25. "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if Elohim peradventure will give them repentance, compunction, or a change of mind, to the acknowledging of the truth." It's up to Yahweh to open their eyes. All we can do is put ourselves in position to be worthy of understanding by repentance and acknowledgement. "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the adversary, who are taken captive by him at his will." It's not the devil we are taken captive by. It's his children, Canaanite and Edomite Jews, that are our adversary. The devil doesn't make us sin. It's the lust of the devil performed through his children that beguile and captivate our fleshly desires. Hebrews 6:1. "Therefore, leaving the account of the origin of Christ, let us go on unto fulfillment, not laying again the foundation of repentance, compunction, or a change of mind, from dead works," meaning the sacrificial rituals, "and of faith towards Elohim, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if Elohim permit." Christ admonished the Pharisees over the minor details and leaving of the greater questions of morality untouched. The rituals of the law had become more important than the law itself, or the meaning of the law. The above section also tells a different story than once saved, always saved. Being saved is an ongoing thing. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of Elohim and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto compunction or a change of mind, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of Elohim afresh and put him to an open shame. Once you learn the truth and fail to uphold it, then you are liable to be condemned. Again, so much for once saved, always saved. Referring to the unlearned, Paul was teaching that the rituals were done away with. To keep practicing them is to deny the sacrifice of our Prince. Hebrews 7:21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, Yahweh swear and will not regret. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better covenant. The Levites were priests by birth, not oath. This is talking about Christ, and after his death, the priesthood expired and he became our high priest of the order of Melchizedek, which means preacher of righteousness. Yahweh promised he would send Christ and will not regret. It's not a different covenant, and it didn't include anyone else or everyone else or the church. It was a better covenant, one that did not require a priesthood or its rituals as a mediator. Christ is now our mediator, and our spiritual sacrifices are of obedience, allegiance, brotherly love, and returning to Yahweh. Thinking different, reconsidering what we believe, having a change of mind from falsehood and ignorance. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all, and set apartness from evil, without which no man shall see Yahweh, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the favor of Elohim, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Esau gave up his birthright when he married the daughters of Heth, who were descendants of Cain, the seed of the serpent. The soup was just a ceremonial acknowledgement of this, which, according to the book of Jasher, Jacob had this trade in writing with witnesses. Esau was a race trader and a race mixer. That's why Yahweh hated Esau. Verse 17, For you know how that afterward, when Esau would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, no compunction, though he sought it carefully with tears. 2 Peter 3:9. The prince is not slack in concerning his promise, as some men count delay, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind or compunction. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have endured, and had patience, and for my name's sake had labored, and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and change your mind, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, except you repent or reconsider. Verse 5 is talking about the first church age, Ephesus, the period from the resurrection of Christ to around 100 AD. It represents the earliest assembly, which, when it was free from serious persecution, they were praised for loyalty to Yeshua the Messiah's teaching and false teachers were exposed and expelled. Criticized because they have left their first love, meaning time has passed and Christ didn't return right away, and things went from bad to worse, and they lost their first enthusiasm. Revelation 2:13, I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name and have not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where the adversary dwelleth. But I have found a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, think differently, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The them is referring to the Nicolaitans, people conquerors. Verse 16 is talking about the third church age of Pergamos. This age represents marriage and elevation. It's Christianity being married to paganism via the Catholic Church and expanded through Europe. The assembly at Pergamos is praised for holding faithful, especially in Satan's dwelling. Augurs, pagans trying to predict the future through augury, omens, and etc. We have Satan providing his deceptive counterfeit, a priest-king of a very evil pagan religion, Catholicism. The Pope took over. As part of his title, he called himself the Holy Father. In efforts to build up converts rapidly, the Catholic Church adopted pagan holidays, rituals, and gods, now under the title of saints. Partial Christianity, but at the same time corrupted by a partial paganism creeping in. Easter, Christmas, Halloween, all pagan. We've run out of time, so we'll pick it up in part 3. Yahweh bless.
Repenting when all said and done, will it stave off the rain? Will it bring back the sun when the battle is lost and the struggle has won? Will it bring back the love that is gone? She stepped away from me, the light in her eyes, said farewell to love and bid me goodbye. And the silence is brass, for the word to the wise is I won't hear the word that you say. What's the use in repenting when all's said and done? Will it stave off the rain? Will it bring back the sun? When the battle is lost and the struggle has won, will it bring back the love that is gone? If you said I'm untrue, you have truth on your side. And what can I do to prove to you now I love only you, when our story has told its own tale? But the rain drifting down on the grass and the stone, it's the dew of the heart, it's the salt of the bone. We slept here together, we waken alone from the dream of the love that is gone. What's the use in repenting when all's said and done? Will it stave off the rain? Will it bring back the sun? When the battle is lost and the struggle has won, will it bring back the love that is gone?